Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
It's Rog. It's Friday. It's actually an ice storm battering my house as I pod. I don't know if you can hear it through the microphone. So I'm not going to declare that we've made it just yet. I don't want to say anything prematurely. However, football, I do believe, will sustain us this weekend more than most weekends, to be candid. There's so bloody much to watch. And in this pod, we will delve into the dawn of a new era, which begins tomorrow, Saturday. Everton, the Frank Lampard power decade-long dynasty. Trademark. My thoughts on all of that to come, as well as a post-mortem on Wednesday night, 3-0 over hypothermic Honduras. I'll also touch upon the Mason Greenwood story at Manchester United and more. But I have to say, the game which is most thrilling to me ahead of this lukewarm FA Cup weekend, Saturday's Derby della Madonnina, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Paramount Plus, which pits first place defending champions Inter Milan against third place AC Milan. Oh, a classic European derby fueled by passion, style and romance. And we're more at stake this year than it has in a long, long time. An AC Milan victory. Whoa, that would blow the whole title race wide open. And what I love about this rumble is that it has a lot of history, dating back to 1908, after a schism within AC Milan over the playing eligibility of non-Italian players led to the formation of Internazionale Milan. And the derby quickly took on a white versus blue collar identity. Inter's mix of European intellectuals pitted against the working class Italians of AC Milan. Their tete-a-tetes became a footballing tradition replete with rituals and theatre, just bleeding out across the city in clamorous support. Fans packing into their shared home in that grand old San Siro. Inter ultras in the Curva Nord, opposite the AC Milan ultras in the seething Curva Sud, letting rip with their red and blue flares and furling tifos, making the stadium quake from start to finish. I've been to this game a couple of times, and I say I adore going. It is Merseyside derby level passion and mayhem and chaos and wonder. And this season, Serie A has added levels of intrigue to the matchup. Juventus's struggles have seen them fall like Meta, tumbling to fifth, creating a power vacuum which both Milanese teams are fighting to fill. Entering this weekend, Inter sit atop the table, having lost only once under Simone Inzaghi, who replaced our friend Antonio Conte at the beginning of the season, trailing them by just 4 points. Are their neighbours, who are third on goal difference behind Lazio. So this weekend's game carries a significance and meaning which transcends local bragging rights, and these teams are going to unleash some of the most electrifying talent in Europe in an attempt to all-out clip their rival. You've got Inter's Lautaro Martinez, Edin Dzeko, Nico Barella, my favourite Denzel Dumfries, Double D, take on the signature stylish Milan side composed of Ibrahimovic, Giroud, Kaur, Frank Kessié, Sandro Tonali, Theo Hernandez, Oh, and in a season that follows Italian glory at the Euros, which is a thing of wonder, this game, above all, is a reminder to the world that the Italians are to football what Scorsese is to freeze frames. I've got to say, hats off to CBS Sports, who have matched the luster of the occasion by becoming the first American broadcaster to provide full studio and match commentary on site, their coverage in Italy, pitch side for a Serie A match, Calcio e Cappuccino. CBS Sports Serie A studio show will kick off live coverage across Paramount Plus at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can watch by trying Paramount Plus for free. Oh, who doesn't love free? By going to the special link, paramountplus.com/MIB. That's paramountplus.com/MIB. Click on there. You can access the game this weekend and savour every second. Talking about saving every second, I want to raise my first third bud of the day to the return of Roy Hodgson. I'd love to have a bird with Roy. God bless. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Time against Hartlepool, that League Two team with possibly the greatest nickname in football, the Monkey Hangers. You be the judge. Google why. It's amazing. And this podcast is, I like to think, very similar to how Roy Hodgson explained why he returned to football.
I thought that I would probably find it a bit easier to resist than I have actually found it. So that's why this job, when it came up, really was one that I was never going to turn down, because it was quite literally the siren call from the mermaid as the sailor passes by on his ship. They got the right mermaids going past the right ship, if you like.
I mean, are we not literally the siren call from the mermaid as the sailor passes by on his ship? You be the judge. Let's do it. Sting me up, producer Jonah.
WGFOP. Was that a Rabona?
Rabona.
How's the bacon, did you say?
Oh, now I feel alive.
That was Ode to Premier League Kickoff by Stevie Thorne. You king, Stephen Thorne. Feels like ages since we watched the Premier League roll on midweek games. And welcome back, Steve Bruce. Oh, you're listening to WGFOP Weekend Preview, the show where you call in the questions you need answered before the weekend's football, and I answer them. Like Stephen A. Smith covers the US men's national team on ESPN. 95% passion, 1% knowledge, and 4% Taylor Twelman. Leave us a message at 646-450-9472. 646-450-9472. And it can be your voice ringing out on our airwaves. You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke cold brew coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham fortress known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke espresso blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke cold brew coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. Let's get down to it. First question.
Raj, it's Matt calling from Chicago. USMNT supporter, just watched the match last night. And for decades, for centuries, we've heard the legends of CONCACAF, the dangers of CONCACAFiness, the dragons that lurk, the swamps we must trudge through. But is this a Mitchell and Webb moment? Raj, are we the baddies? Are we the new baddies of CONCACAF? You think we're afraid of your swamp? No. You must come to our frozen tundra and lose your ears and limbs from frostbite. So who are we now? Are we not the heroes of this story? Are we now the villains? Thanks, Raj. Courage.
Matt from Chicago, the greatest of cities. Are we the Mitchell and Webb of CONCACAF?
Have you looked at our caps recently? Have you noticed that our caps have actually got little pictures of skulls on them?
I don't...
Hands. Are we the baddies?
No, Matt. Let me assure you, we are not the baddies. In a CONCACAF world of high altitude, heave bags of urine, another dark art shithousery, what we had to go through on Wednesday night was not driven by ill intent. It was just sad and small and unnecessary. And if anything, overthinking, propelled by really the cross lines of traumas of the past. The trauma of 2017 in Couva, obviously, which is an open wound. An experience which, just dented the profile of US soccer. Profile of soccer in general over here took a massive hit, both symbolically and commercially, in real dollars, because of our men's team failure to qualify. And there's a real spirit that must not happen again. There's also a desperate desire to resummon heroic nights past, the Snow Classico in Colorado 2013, when Walker Zimmerman walked off the field on Wednesday night and he turned to the cameras and said, "That was iconic." There's such a gulf between those two experiences, one which was unexpected, one which was self-inflicted. But that team in 2013, crucially, compared to this squad that we now have at our disposal, night and day in terms of quality, in terms of European experience, in terms of potential, just match the quality of the individual player for individual player. And the short way of saying this is we are not a small team anymore at this stage in our evolution. And US soccer should be bigger than this. The US soccer we dream about should be bigger. We should not need to resort to feel the need to face such a bedraggled, overmatched, winless opponent on a footballing hellscape, electing to turn the game really into a mirthless version of one of those sadistic Japanese endurance reality TV shows that prop up on all over YouTube. And here's Greg Berhalter's explanation of why US soccer did it post-game.
What I would say is that we provided Honduras and their staff and the referees with warm weather gear. We provided them with head gear and, trying to make it a safe environment for them to play in. You know, when we go down to those countries and it's 90 degrees and 90% dew point and it's unbearable humidity and guys are getting dehydrated and cramping up and getting heat exhaustion, that's the nature of our competition.
And this to me, how do we find the words, Pep?
This action is really incredible.
Incredible. Look, I adore the US men's national team. And I say all of this out of love and admiration for how much the game has progressed in this nation, how much youth development has prospered, how much talent we have developed. And yes, it is true, we have to play in the heat of the day on the road in CONCACAF for away games. And yes, teams like Bolivia try and equalise the playing field or level it out against powerhouses Argentina and Brazil by making them play at high altitude in La Paz. But we are meant to be an aspirational superpower. We are a good bloody team, savouring a moment in which we are fielding the greatest generation of young male players that we have ever been blessed with and enjoying their development. And the most important thing for this young squad is to seize every single opportunity to develop the team's identity. And frankly, after the humbling loss to Canada, bolster the confidence and belief of our players. And simply put, we should be trying to beat our opponents with our football. And believe in the ability of our players. What pisses me off most is at the very time we should be building the team up and engaging the bigger audience that exists and that we can grab outside of our American soccer bubble, we make ourselves look so small. We have so much talent, so much possibility, so many incredible human characters in that squad with diverse, inspirational backstories. There's so much to love about this generation of footballers. We are no longer a backs against the wall, circle the wagons, no one likes us and we don't care football team. We're just not. We got starters on top five teams in Europe from top five leagues across Europe. I raise my glass to a time when we can take the field with less insecurity, more confidence, no more the false confidence of the in-game fan selfies. What we should be is a positive, joyful, diverse, eclectic face of a United States we can all believe in. No sleep until Azteca, March 24th. Godspeed. Next question.
Hey there. My name's Garrett. I'm calling from Boston. I'm a fan of the U.S. national team. I just thought I'd relay a story from this past qualifying cycle, or window, I guess I'd say. We got hit with a pretty bad storm in this area, and it disrupted a lot of the travel plans a bunch of my friends had for going to Hamilton. There were five of us. Only one made it by plane. The other took a train from New York, and then three of us drove from Boston. So we literally took planes, trains, and automobiles to get to Hamilton, Ontario, and eat some buffalo wings in Buffalo, New York, all to see the U.S. lose 2-0 to Canada. Was it worth it? Yeah, it was a great trip. Tough result, but it's going to be a great story.
Garrett, first of all, I love your accent. Storm. Second, I love your fandom. This, to me, is what football is all about, especially US men's national team fandom. We should be emphasising the joy, the making of memories. Football should be joyful. And you watch Wednesday night, our players, from the national anthem onwards, all the way to their post-match, slightly coded tweets and Insta stories where they let it be known in the most polite way possible, because they don't want to make waves. They're all so young. They don't want to be somehow just talking their way out of a 2026 World Cup place. So they're very nice. They're very polite. But they all kind of hinted, let's not do this again. Look, this was miserable for the fans. It was miserable for the players. This was unnecessary torture. We had a tweet, actually, which I put in the newsletter from GFOP at Robert Daniel, which really captured the sentiment well about where the profile of football is in this nation, which is so much bigger than sometimes it's treated. And he wrote, the US has forever operated with the mindset of we need every possible advantage to qualify. And that's no longer the case. Trust your talent, trust your supporters to show up. That's what Robert wrote. And when I hear your story, Garrett, yes, trust your supporters. Let's play these games. Let's play them in bigger stadia. Who cares who shows up? Our players can play. They can do this. Let's play for 50,000. Let's play for 60,000. Let's play in big cities. Let's create a spectacle. None of, this finding stadia where opposing fans cannot turn up. You know, these the whiter cities in America, that cannot hold. It cannot be our future. Let's just go. Let's make this big. Let's think big as possible. And in doing so, create memories like the ones you clearly have, Garrett. Memories which will last a lifetime. And in that regard, let me take a moment to wish Canadian fans listening just the biggest love, so much respect, so much joy, so much wonder. Your team, what a team, undefeated in CONCACAF, making it look easy and fun, on the verge of qualifying for the first World Cup since 1986. And the thing I love most about this team is that collectively they're doing what I want the US to do. They are offering a delirious, diverse face of their nation, a new Canada. Our team can do that too. A new United States, a joyful United States we can all get behind. But let me just say, I'm blown away by Coach John Herdman and the management job he's done. Let's take a minute to savour the memories that his team is forging for their fan base by listening to a hype video from Canadian television that Herdman tweeted out yesterday. God, I love this.
Never before has Canada ever witnessed a men's side as strong as today. Coach Herdman and his coaching team have mastered an effective style of play. So let's take a peek at the side that has awoken the world by surprising most everyone as up the FIFA rankings they hurled. As many goals as we have scored and games that we have won, what impresses me most is this team has become one. You have given this country something to make them unite in these times of uncertainty, of fear and fright. Now go dispose of CONCACAF with all your might. For when anyone sees Canada on the pitch, they know they are losing a fight.
It's magnificent. Really, really, congratulations to all fans north of the border. Savour the memories you're making with this team. May there be so many bloody more. Okay, let's take a question which will lead us to a darker place for a moment.
Hello, Rog. Jim from Greenfield, Ohio again. Massive Red Devil. In the wake of the news of this week, I just wanted to call and see if you could offer some advice. I called earlier in the year when they signed Ronaldo and to ask about the allegations facing him and how to handle those. And seeing throughout the year with Ryan Giggs in the executive box, the continued lionization of Ronaldo, and now the disgusting events surrounding Mason Greenwood, don't know how to process what's going on. It seems like there's a toxic culture at United. I'm struggling to figure out what's going on, why they can't stand with women more firmly, how the women's team must be feeling to see this, and how to reconcile my love of United with the actions the club are taking with these men that, you know, have done some pretty bad things, allegedly. I mean, it's been darkness trying to figure out how to talk about what's going on right now. Courage.
Jim, thank you for your thoughtful question at this terribly dark time, not just for Manchester United, but for football. But for Manchester United, your question comes ahead of this afternoon's FA Cup clash against Middlesbrough, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Plus. First game played under the shadow of Mason Greenwood's arrest for rape and sexual assault, which, I mean, it's been fascinating and awful to some degree following the reporting of that in English tabloids, who have just spent the week obsessing really over which teammates had stopped following Greenwood on Instagram and which are standing by him by still following him on Instagram. This is a moment of human horror, and such a moment in any workplace can create trauma and darkness, even in the selfish me-first terrain of a Premier League locker room. Even that is not going to be immune. But in terms of your question, I've got to be clear, I am not in that locker room. I'm not inside Manchester United, so I can't answer your question, which is really asking why United, why, you know, what is going on there at the core that this is not an isolated incident. But there was a small detail in a piece I read this morning in The Guardian about the situation that really made me think. They mentioned at the end of the article, they said that Manchester United have announced they'll exchange any jersey with Greenwood's name on it for that of another player via the club shop. And I ached for a minute and I tried to work out in my own head why. And I just thought, my God, this, please do not make this a tiny symbol of the overall approach that's going to kick in to pretend that this never happened and just airbrush Greenwood out of the club's present and from the club's memory. You know, football right this second has a moment to use its mighty platform to shine a light on domestic violence, and violence against women in particular, a societal phenomenon which is terrifyingly common over here in the United States. Let this one sink in. 1 in 4 women experience severe intimate partner physical or sexual violence in their lifetime. A number that is hard to hear. It is hard to hear. But we have to talk about this. We have to recognise this. And all I can say right now is may the league and may Manchester United work out how to seize this moment and act and use their power for the force of good. Next question.
Hey, Raj. Sam Rosen here from Madison, Wisconsin. And, of course, big Everton Toffee. You, Davo, Tim Howard, and a lot of tears and getting used to rooting for underdogs are the reason for supporting Everton. So thank you for that. Sitting here with my girlfriend, who's a big Jordan Pickford fan, confusingly. Just got her into soccer this year, so I guess him being average might be the reason behind that. 1 year, at least, he's average. It's nice. I guess the question is, Lampard's been hired. We've brought in Dele, we've brought in Donny van der Beek, and I feel this just awful creeping feeling. It's making me just dread Saturday. I think the feeling is hope. You know, I know we always hear you talk about this feeling, and every time it comes up, and how beautiful it is, and how every single time we get let down, you know, we're sitting in 16th in this relegation battle. You know, I feel hope when I listen to you and Davo talk every single time, or even if it's just you on a Friday. Am I misplaced in having any kind of hope in Lampard? He's not perfect. The team's a mess. Moshiri's an idiot, but I feel hope. Is that wrong? You know, take care, man. Courage. Love y'all.
Sam Rosen, you beautiful human being. You can call anytime, because what a call. You pretty well summed everything up beautifully. And I will say, your message, what an emotional roller coaster you just took us all on. Can I raise my bud especially to your girlfriend? Welcome to Everton. Best decision you've ever made. Great days ahead for sure. Frank Lampard's arrival at Everton has been, well, for me personally, hilarious. I was on a call last night with a fellow Bluebelly, great mate of mine, Scott, in LA, and we were just laughing at how we feel right now on the eve of Frank Lampard's first game as manager of our club. Just, I mean, we both feel it, but we're both self-aware enough to know how stupid that feeling of confidence and joy and optimism is. It's just a reminder of what a powerful, deeply emotional, non-rational, incredible life force football can be. Lord, it has taken me to some dark places this season, let's be honest, under Rafa. And all it needs is roughly 217 looped views of that video of Dele strolling into Everton's training ground and chatting casually, not really casually, it was Super Orcs if I'm being honest, with Super Frank, both men now wearing the proud Hummel blue of EFC. They ride with Everton now. And just watching it, I persuaded myself instantly that the cavalry have arrived and my body surges with optimism. And optimism, again, speaking to Scott last night, he's a childhood Evertonian from Bournemouth who used to travel around Britain with Everton, home and away games. And we're both laughing. This optimism is a childish optimism. It makes no sense at all. But my God, it's wonderful. Can I just be clear? I know you know, I know that this ends badly. But for 24 more hours, let me dream. Everton play Brentford tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Plus. Dele and Danny van der Beek are both cup tied, so will not play until Newcastle on Tuesday. Christian Eriksen is getting up to match fitness and won't be part of the Brentford squad either. By the way, quick segue, it's going to be some weeks before we see him. By the way, I did love Thomas Frank's words when asked why he would think of signing Eriksen.
It's the same with all the players out there, Messi, Mbappé, Eriksen, take all three of them. If they fill in the criteria of no dickheads, then they can play for us.
No dickheads. I love that. That is a philosophy to live by. Life is too short to spend with dickheads. I firmly, firmly believe that. But back to Everton. Massive week. Yes, as I mentioned, the six-pointer. It's worth more than that. It's like a 12-bloody-pointer against Newcastle, Piff Castle on Tuesday. Could this be the week that the Frank Lampard-Everton honeymoon period comes to a crashing halt? I jest. In my imagination, here's the question. There's so much redemption at stake for Everton. The club's owners, Frank's management career, Dele and DVDB's playing trajectories. So the season-defining question will be, when is so much redemption too much redemption? We're going to find out. One thing's for sure, Frank's arrival will instantly mute so much of the fume which has roiled the club's devoted, long-suffering, incredible fan base this season. And may our dreams that the youth who've been kept to the periphery of the squad and the cruel stepfather Rafa, talking about the likes of Lewis Dobbin, Jared Brantwaite, Baby Giraffe, and new arrivals like Nathan Patterson, he's going to be our Robbo. Can they save us? Just know we're going to find out. And I am so filled with excitement. Tonight, I'm going to raise a glass to all that is to come, even though I know from experience all that is to come is, please God, mid-table and a bit of shattered hope. But I will end with my friend Dave Lazarus's words, which he used about Tottenham when Conte arrived earlier this season. It's just exciting to have a reason to be let down again. So let's savour every second, Blues fans, on that journey to disappointment, and end with this bit of hype. We'll be back on Monday. Big love, courage. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.